baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
Wire and another one. My goodness.
Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. Here we are Tuesday morning. And, buddy, I'm not hungover. I'm almost too old to party like I did in Toronto.
Say it ain't so.
My buddy Darren Brown and I, some of you might remember Darren, he was a sponsor for a while there with yourrate.ca, but we went down to Toronto and caught the Yankees series. We weren't very good luck. But it was very, very cool, man, to run into Mustard Tiger, who is in our Discord, is a Patreon member.
Super active in our Discord.
And out of Winnipeg, and it just got lucky that he happened to be there for the same series. Ran into, and I
turns out Yankees in Toronto is a big draw.
And I promised Curtis that we would get his photo up with me on our Friday episode, but after the game on Friday, I was wandering the 100s, and all of a sudden this lady comes up to me, and she's just like, oh my goodness, you're the guy from the walk-off. That's so cool. And she just starts yelling out, Curtis! And I was like, oh boy.
What's happening here? Yeah.
Who's this dude, Curtis? Like, this is going to be like,
You think it's like her husband or something?
It was this little kid. Yeah. And it was so cool, man. Oh, he's like 12 awesome. Years old. He's got this like killer glove. He was all in baseball gear and he had like the eye black
amazing.
On his eyes.
Amazing.
And he was just like, right away, too, as soon as he saw it was me, he was like, awesome. He's like, pick, mom, pick. And he just like gets right in there. I'm like, this is the kids
That's
of
amazing.
Today.
That's cool. Well, I love that picture when you sent it to me. It made my day. So that was
And as if
really
that wasn't
cool.
enough, buddy, like when we got into Toronto, we took the up train in, dropped our stuff off at the Airbnb, walked down Roncesvalles. And the first bar we saw, we stopped in for a pint, literally sat down, started drinking a pint, and the bartender was like, I hope this isn't weird, but you're the guy from the walk-off, right? He's like, I love your guys' show. He's like,
Amazing.
I watched the Mitch Bannon one. I watched the Mitch Bannon one. So good. You guys got to have him back.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm like, I've never been recognized before, and I go to
Very
Toronto
cool.
and running into all sorts of folks.
Very yeah. cool. You've been a pro comedian for 15 years. Zero
yeah.
fame.
Zero fame.
Start a yeah. hobby podcast out of your second bedroom and all of a sudden recognized everywhere. Amazing. I love it.
But I, you know what, man? It really opened my eyes to like the community that has kind of
grown around us
themselves yeah. With this. Like it is very, very cool. And we appreciate everyone who goes out of their way to do stuff like hit the like button, subscribe. You know, do your thing and contribute any way you want. Honestly, comments are huge, and that's so cool, too. And that's why Mailbag exists, is that we just got to a point where we were getting so much interaction where we were like, well, we need to address this, right? Yeah. So you can do so on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. Join our Discord. So the link is in the show notes, and it's just a very, very cool community in there.
The Discord is one of the most selfless things we offer because it's great for community building. It's a great place to chat ball with some fellow ball fans, right? It's super civil, by the way.
Yes.
We get nothing out of it, and it kills our YouTube stats because if all those comments, the good ones and the bad, we get crapped on a lot too for some of our stupid hot takes or whatever.
Absolutely.
But if those were happening on our YouTube videos, YouTube would be like, wow, these guys get 60, 70 comments a video. Quite engaging stuff. But everyone's just like, yeah, like, and then open the Discord tab and
yeah.
start. Anyway, so we appreciate
which is
it.
Very cool.
Go join
too,
the
though,
Discord.
Which is
yeah,
very
absolutely.
Cool too. Absolutely. And before we jump right into this, which we are going to Patreon. Thank you so much. Adam's got the list of names.
Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast, $4 a month. We appreciate all of your support. David, Abraham, Michael, Sarah, John, Simon, Rashid, Joshua, Jeremy, Ian, and Dunedin Bob. Thank you to the 11 of you for all your support on Patreon. We really appreciate it. Movie reviews is what we do on Patreon. That is our big offer that we think, but everybody goes there for their own value that they want to get out of it. Movie reviews, Bull Durham. That one's free on YouTube if you're curious. Mr. Baseball, Major League, hilarious one. Moneyball and Field of Dreams will be up hopefully today or tomorrow. A lot of fun doing those.
By the way, too, and I got a DM. Frick, I should just look it up now. I think I left my phone in the other room.
Of course.
And whoever, frick, I can't
believe. Very eloquent, man. Love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Way to be, right? Way to do your homework and be ready for the show.
But anyways, the DM was pretty much, I joined Patreon because I do like that I get to see your interviews before you put them up.
There you go.
So there's that too, you know, like
early access interviews, those go up the day of. So a lot of times, you know, like right now we're in the middle of a stretch where we don't have anybody booked, but then it seems to come in waves, you know, there's a two off day kind of a week, and we're able to get people with you know, where they don't have a bunch of stuff they got to report on and whatever the case may be, but then we get five or six in 1 week, and we have to space those out, but they all go live on our Patreon immediately. Yeah. Unedited.
And the truth is the more I'm on the road, the less we do those interviews, so
it does make scheduling a little more difficult. We also have behind the scenes pre-show recordings, so if you want to know what's going on with Scott and I personally, today I went way too personal. I said names I shouldn't have named. I want to just not upload it, so, but I probably will anyways because I'm an idiot. So okay, that is it for Patreon. There's a dog barking. I'm gonna close my window. Scott, you talk for a second.
Okay. Adam's going to upload our pre-ramble because his ex-wife isn't in our Patreon.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Let's get into it, buddy.
Mailbag. A little bit of a shorter mailbag this week because I really screwed things up on Friday. So, I mean, we got loads of comments, but we don't want the mailbag to just be me reading 70 supportive, nice comments. So, I saw all of them. I will respond to them today. I responded to the first, like, 20 that I got, and then they just kept coming. So, thank you for your support and your kind words.
I was kind of blown away by the community support of Adam there. Obviously, I was off gallivanting around Toronto. Which is what made it so funny to me, too, is, like, when you texted me and you're like, it didn't work. Also, I already did an apology. It's already up on YouTube. We're moving on. And I was like, okay, well.
Scott was just at his highest of high, just, like, kissing babies and shaking hands. And I was just, like, in this dark corner of, like, my own stress and anxiety. Anyways, if you want more of that, patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. Enjoy today's pre-show where I... let it all out there for Scott and the 11 of you. Okay. Scott Adams, the Jays fan in Discord, says, by the way, how do you not get your comment read with a name like that?
Right? Really hitting two nails on the head here.
Right? Right in there. It's like one of my favorite actors of all time, Adam Scott. If you're out for the season, like Ryu, is it not just bad tacos, but bad fish tacos?
I love that.
Have you ever had a fish taco, Scott? Dude, I've never actually had a fish taco.
They're the best. Are they? I love a good fish taco. I'm a big fan of them.
I got to try one. I don't know.
I don't know. It's good stuff.
All right.
So we picked this comment in particular because we are running kind of a fun little, I wouldn't call it a contest, but just like a community building exercise, if you will.
There you go. That's great. Very good.
And I will be very honest that we've got some people in the Discord who have put up artwork in the past. I know Caitlin out of Scotland, Jonathan Nesbitt out of St. John, New Brunswick, I think it is. We've got some really talented folks within our community. And so what we thought would be fun is putting it out there. We always get a good reaction from when we use bad tacos. Obviously, we're a superstitious bunch here on the walk-off, and we don't wish to jinx anybody. So instead of using the term injuries, we use bad tacos. I know we brought it up with Danny Jansen in the interview we did with him, and he just got such a kick out of it. And so we decided, you know what would be cool is to have it on a t-shirt. And now we need a design. So if you are envisioning a bad taco, a leather jacket, however it is, a badass taco. Feel free to submit your drawings. You can do that on Discord. You can do it if you're not in Discord and aren't into getting involved in that. Feel free to DM us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. Get a hold of us however you would like, and maybe it could be your artwork that is featured. I know we're going to try and pick this by early July. Oh My Apparel, this sweet, soft shirt,
hey,
by the way.
Look at that.
Hustle-my yesterday, that is our long toss sponsor, and just a very cool independent sports clothing company right here in Calgary. They're Canadian-based. Duncan played college ball. He's a huge baseball fan. He's been on the podcast. Big Phillies fan, but we'll forgive him for that. But he's going to put the design on a t-shirt. We're going to have pre-orders. Obviously, if your
design is chosen,
or art is chosen, you get
free
all the merch free. Yes.
Beyond t-shirts, if t-shirts aren't your thing, we are going to have hoodies, which will obviously cost a fortune. But they'll be good quality stuff. We're also going to have,
is with all of all my stuff. Absolutely.
We're also going to make this merch into a coffee mug. Maybe that's more your thing. Put a bad taco on a coffee mug, because why not? And then even if you're like, you just want to support and get a piece of the merch, get a piece of the action, we're going to have like vinyl stickers and stuff, which will be dirt cheap as well. All of that will be done via pre-sale. So rather than Scott and I buying a bunch of stock and inventory and then sitting in a warehouse full of like bad taco t-shirts that nobody wants, we're just going to put it out for pre-sale so you get your sizes in. I want an extra large. I want a super small. I want a whatever the case may be. We'll put all that out there, and then Omai is going to handle all the inventory and shipping and stuff like that. So very cool. Look forward to that. Bad tacos. Get your designs in any way you can as soon as possible. And yeah, looking forward to seeing what everybody comes up with. So okay, next we've got Bye Bye Greg Birdie on Twitter. Nice. Hey guys, loved Long Toss on Sunday. You are all so great at articulating your points. Might have been the best panel yet. Well done. Who was on our panel this week? We had, oh, I know who we didn't have. We didn't have Scott.
Of course, this last show was proclaimed as the best panel so far when I'm not there. Honestly, I watched about an hour and 15 minutes of Sunday's Long Toss.
While you're waiting to get on a flight.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to get on a flight, and I gotta admit, I was really impressed. Everyone had so many insightful things to say. Everyone's so well-spoken. It made me jealous, because I get all worked up, and then I start just, and then I'll just, like, forget a word that every human out there already knows what it. I blame the weed. I should just, you know, a little bit less of that, but everyone else is articulating their ideas, and honestly, it was very, very well done, so congrats to you, Adam, for running that show all on your own, and we'll have,
I mean,
to have all those panelists
look,
back.
So shout out to the panelists. We had Joel, Jen, our Iron Man and Iron Lady of Long Toss. We had Rick from Rick Talks Baseball. We had Pat McDonald, first time on the show. Great guest there. And we had Garth the Orgy. So it was, I mean, when your crew is that good, the captain doesn't need to do much, right? The ship steers itself at that point. So it was, they made my life really
so
easy.
So humble.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Adam Humble Mac.
Hey, you know what? When I was a kid, I had a t-shirt that said, it's hard to be honest and modest when you're this good looking. And I wish I still had that t-shirt, but it was like a medium and I would never fit it now.
Right.
So I, yeah, anyways. That was,
I had a t-shirt that said second place. Anyways, it was a No Fear shirt.
Oh, I remember No Fear, yeah.
Really, really wish I could remember exactly what it was. Something about a set of steak knives or something like that. In the comments, there's got to be someone old enough to remember No Fear shirts.
I bet you someone still has that No Fear shirt for sure. All right. Okay. So yeah, Long Toss was a really good one, as always. Okay, next one we've got Lena the Brave DM'd us on Twitter and said, sorry if I'm butchering that name, by the way. Lena the Brave DM'd us on Twitter and said, what is up with Barrios? Is he always going to be this inconsistent? Last night was so disappointing.
Okay.
I know. So, a lot to unpack here, isn't there?
A few things to unpack here for sure. Let's start with the fact that, for the most part, Berríos has been quite good over the last three starts. He definitely had a rough start to the season and seemed to put it all together. Now, one thing that I did wish to bring up, most importantly, he's been alternating back and forth between getting whiffs on his fastball and not. And his fastballs are his sinker and his four-seamer. He's been relying more heavily on his sinker, but if he's not hitting his spots with his sinker and guys are laying off of it, nobody swings at it. So it kind of eliminates his best pitch, which is his curveball, because if all of a sudden they can write off swinging at the fastball, they can sit on that curveball or just ignore it altogether.
Yeah.
Last night, he threw 48 fastballs, 38 sinkers, 10 four-seamers. He had zero swing and misses. He wasn't hitting his spots. And the pitch selection, listen, this is the first time that Gabriel Moreno has caught Jose Berríos in a game. And despite the fact that Charlie Montoyo has been very adamant that he does not want his pitchers to have their own personal catcher, Kirk has been the guy who is working with Berríos the most. Kirk was... we've talked about this with catchers a lot, right? The experience in calling a good game doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
And Moreno is a week and a half in. Am I putting the loss on Moreno? No, I'm not. Obviously, Berríos can shake off whatever it is. But pitchers, a lot of guys don't like to do that, right? They get in there, they get focused. When the catcher lays down the old number one or whatever it is, they just go. And maybe what last night was is it's going to be Pete Walker, Alejandro Kirk, Danny Jansen sitting down with Gabe and going over a new game plan. Because obviously, if they're going to throw 48 fastballs and they get zero swings and misses, like, that's not good enough, man.
I don't know where I come in on the game plan. Can that not be adjusted mid game? Like, is that not the point of?
Of course.
So I don't know. I'm not I don't want to just be a Gabriel Moreno apologist. But they had to have had a game plan going in, and then
this is on the game plan.
Yeah.
But everything's situational, right, Adam? Like, you can't plan every pitch. You can't plan every scenario. You can't plan every count. What am I going to throw here? What am I going to throw here? It's a moving animal. And Moreno's a week and a half into his big league career. I truly believe that, you know, maybe it would have been different with a guy like Danny Jansen behind the plate. Maybe not. We've watched Berríos get blown up before. I'm just saying that is a lot of fastballs to throw without a swing and a miss.
Yeah, okay, but again, at what point is it a little bit on Berríos to shake it off and be like, hey man, no. Or let's shake off three pitches, have a mound visit and be like, quit calling for the fucking fastball. It's not working. Give me something else.
I'm saying that, though. I am saying that. I'm just also saying, if you haven't been in the situation before and you feel like you're sinking, right? Things just happen fast.
It's true. It does happen fast.
Anyways, if I'm going to be honest and just answer Lena's question, no, I'm not really that worried about Berríos. I don't think he's going to be this consistent the whole time in a Jays uniform. I think he's had a little bit of a rough season so far. However, I do think he's got a ton of experience. He's shown in the past the kind of pitcher he can be. He's got phenomenal stuff. His curveball is elite. He's got great location when he's on with his fastball. I think it's all going to work out. This team has been streaky, man. We were talking about this before we hit record, right? Like, this team has been hot and cold, and when they're hot, they're sexy as fuck. And when they're not, ugh, right? So,
yes. Man, you're eloquent. Holy, that's right?
The articulation we needed. We were talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I think, look, I kind of think this is who Berríos is. I think you're going to have like four great starts where he's pitching eight innings in a row for all of them. And then you're going to have some stinkers. Like, I think he's, when his stuff is on, it's on. And when it's not, it's not. And I don't know that we're going to see an evolution in him over the remainder of his contract. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think he's still a great pitcher to have. I mean, this is what they say about pitchers, right? You have 10 great starts in a season. You have 10 awful starts in a season. And then you have 10 that are in the middle. And it's what you do with those 10 that make the difference. Mm-hmm. So his highs and his lows are just at further ends of the spectrum than most pitchers, I think. He's not going anywhere. Gausman, kind of the same thing. Gausman can be untouchable at times. He can also not. Look, I'm looking at right behind your head a picture of R.A. Dickey.
Yeah.
Knuckleballer. How old was he when he won the Cy Young? Like, that's a thousand
question.
Years old?
32? 32, right? Or no, you're right. He was probably like 36.
Wrong side of 30, for sure, yeah. Right? Knuckleballers know this better than anybody. When the knuckleball is on, it's unhittable. Mm-hmm. When it's not, you might as well just be throwing grapefruits at the baseball, like at the strike zone, right? Because it's the most hittable pitch in all of baseball when there's an ounce of movement or like spin on it, right? So
yeah.
I think that's kind of what we got with Gausman, is like sometimes he's just going to have that unhittable splitter that is just, you know, on that same plane and is just working and tricking guys and whatever. And other times it's not. And it is what it is.
Sure makes like, you appreciate how elite Manoa has been.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like he's our number one for sure.
It's mind blowing.
We don't have a number four, and Stripling and Kikuchi are trying to be our number five. Like, I don't know what do you think we're going to do about our pitching here? Like, because this is...
Well, I was impressed with the way Joel framed it on Long Toss, and that is that, you know, with Ryu going down, you need to kind of look at what you would expect for him to pitch. Probably about 90 innings, fingers crossed. That's what you would hope to get out of him, right? Yeah. And then you see a guy like Nate Pearson go down. Ugh. You were hoping to maybe get 20 innings out of him, so now you're at 110 innings. You know, how many of those do you want Trent Thornton pitching? Personally, not very many. I mean, Trent Thornton has definitely showed he's not the frickin' long man for this team. That's not who I'd like to see coming out of the bullpen when Kikuchi's struggling. I want to see Ross Stripling. And you guys really, really touched on this, and I agreed with everything everyone was saying, in that Ross Stripling has been phenomenal. He's done everything that is asked of him. But his true value to this team is in the long man swing role, where he can come in and give you three or four innings of shutdown ball when you need it most. But you know who hasn't been shut down when you need him most? Trent Thornton. Trevor Richards has struggled. So these guys that they need to keep leaning on but aren't getting it done is part of the problem. So what are they going to do? They're going to go get some pitching. When? Who knows? Sometime before the trade deadline. They're 10 games over 500. They're the third best team in the AL. If the Yankees didn't exist, we'd be loving this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Yeah, if the Yankees were having any other Yankee season, we'd be neck and neck with them for first place. We'd be either a game up or a game back, and we'd feel right in the thick of it.
The Jays are on pace for 93 wins as we sit right now. If they beat the White Sox for the next two games, they're on pace for 95. I don't think you need to jump off the deep end. I don't think you need to panic. I also don't think you need to just be like, we're fine. I think there should be some big-time upgrades made. And I would like to see a strong starter come our way. I would like somebody in that top three. Because think about – now, yes, that's going to come with a cost.
Do you want
Atkins
a guy?
And Shapiro hasn't let us down yet, in my opinion. So,
Would you rather a guy with term or a 1-year rental?
I want Luis Castillo, but I've wanted him since we started this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so Castillo has the rest of this season and another year at $10 million, and then he's a free agent. I think Frankie Montas also has a year and a half of control. We'll see. We'll see what the price is. We'll see what this front office would like to do. I know you guys really talked about it quite a bit. I don't particularly wish to see Alejandro Kirk traded, at least not this season. I think that you can get some major upgrades without touching this catching until the offseason and reevaluate. But you got to give to get. I mean, I know I heard, our initial reaction to the Berríos trade was, you know, kind of negative. Yeah.
When we traded for Berríos, he was supposed to be the guy at the front end of our lineup, of our rotation, right? That was the, well, look, we're trading away top tier prospects, but we're getting a guy who's going to be our opening day pitcher for the next 5-6 years, right?
Yeah.
When we signed Kevin Gausman, Gausman was supposed to be better than Ryu or than Berríos, right? Like that was supposed to be the 1A
or
and 1B.
1A, 1B at least.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Now, like, Manoa is our number one for sure, right? At least through 2022. This season, he's our number one, right? Like, who knows, career, whatever. Let's put that aside. But now, like, if we're talking about bringing in, like, another pitcher that's better than Berríos and Gausman, right? Like,
Adam,
we didn't make these moves to get these guys to be our 3-4 in the rotation.
Look,
is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Yes, it's a great thing.
Thank you.
Get more pitching. Get more pitching. Look at the Yankees. Their starting rotation is fucking scary, man. It is scary, right? And I mean, you're watching guys who had the pedigree all along, like Jameson Taillon.
Look, this,
like Jordan Montgomery. And so Berríos and Gausman have that pedigree. We're going to see them at exceptional levels. So let's bring another guy in.
Yes, and I think this is the way a team with World Series aspirations needs to be built, is you don't build it from the back end up, you build it from the front end back. You keep getting better guys that push everybody to compete and push them down the line, right?
Yes, baby. Yes.
So I do think that that's important. We don't have to talk trading Alejandro Kirk right now. I think his trade value is way too high. I don't think we get a fair market deal with how what we give away in terms of what we can get back. I think we had a comment on YouTube. I didn't quite get it, but it was like Kirk for Montas straight across. You're not doing that deal, right? Like that is a downgrade as a whole for our team. Is it not?
I don't know. I'd consider it pretty strongly.
You do Kirk for Montas straight across?
I'd consider it pretty strongly. I said, I'm not going to commit on a yes or no, but yes. Like,
all right.
The biggest thing for Kirk right now is we're trying to win a World Series, and he's the most offensively gifted catcher on this team, and he's also leading the entire major leagues in those sort of offensive numbers for a catcher. So do you want to remove a guy who's hitting .310 from your middle of the order? I don't particularly want to see that happen, but it would depend on what's coming back. But
Kirk's
value is huge. And I really feel like this front office doesn't want to touch the catching situation until the off season. But again, we'll see what happens, right? We did watch them chase J-Ram. So if you're going to go after somebody of that ilk, buddy, Moreno's gone or Kirk is gone.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I don't wish to see Kirk's bat removed from this lineup either, right? What is he hitting right now? .310 something. Right?
Yeah.
All the numbers offensively are great. Do we wish to see that taken out of the lineup? No. But here's the consideration. It's not just that, like, oh, we're just taking that out of the lineup, right? It's who do we have to replace it? How much of a downgrade is that, right? If you believe in Moreno, if you think that Danny Jansen can stay healthy for the rest of the season, is that much of a downgrade versus what is the upgrade that we get at pitching in return, right? If it means getting a Frankie Montas and Stripling can go back into the bullpen, that helps the bullpen out, that helps the starting rotation out. Like, this is where you got to do that measurement of, like, net gain on pitching versus net loss on catching, right? Like, there is going to be a loss on offensively, but it's going to help us so much on pitching that does that cancel out, right? And those are the considerations for people smarter than us to be making. I'm so glad that Shapiro Atkins are at the helm of this ship because I have a lot of confidence in them. I know you do as well. Ultimately,
I sure hate that Montas and Castillo are just wasting away in these freaking joke markets of Cincinnati and Oakland.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you're a great guy, and I appreciate how considerate you are of them wasting their careers. Anyways, we did get a comment from the Discord that I want to get to here. So this was in regards to our long toss discussion on Sunday about trading Kirk. I just proposed the question of, like, do we do it? How do we get value back? So this is from JMCCC. No idea what those stand for. In Discord said, just listening to the latest one of these long toss episodes. They aren't seriously talking about trading Kirk for a year and a half of starting pitchers who might not even start a game in the wild card series. Thank God Atkins is running this team and not these guys. That's in reference to us, Scott. Kirk has several years of control.
I was an on-long toss.
Yeah, well.
Maybe that was the one.
I don't know. All right. Well, then it's... Anyways. Kirk has several years of control. They need a lot more than Montas or Castillo. Trade Jansen if you can trade a catcher. He's injury prone and probably the least talented of all three. And he has the least control. So.
And the least value.
And the least value. So, yes, this is thank you for the comments. We appreciate the good ones and the bad ones.
Absolutely.
Always.
And I agree.
This is
with
part
that.
Of driving the conversation, right? Trade Danny Jansen and get nothing in return, right? Like, if you want worse than Yusei Kikuchi, if you want to add a borderline 5-6 piece of the rotation, then yeah, trade Danny Jansen because. A trade has to work for both teams is my point, right? Like, yes all these things. Trade Jansen if you trade a catcher. He's injury prone. He's probably the least talented. And he has the least control. The other teams are going to see that too.
Yeah.
Right? So what are they going to give back? Scraps.
And we just talked about how we want to see the depth increased from the top, right? So if you're going to get one of those top guys, you need to give to get. And when I listened to Long Toss, I truly didn't get the impression that you were all like, trade Kirk, we got to trade Kirk. It was just more like a discussion of if you're going to get a high-end
what do you need back?
Rotation starter back, a guy like Luis Castillo or Frankie Montas. These are guys who don't grow on trees and are probably going to wind up getting $30 million a year come their contract years. Yeah, you got to give somebody up. Again, I don't want to trade Kirk. I'm just saying that if this is the direction this front office is going to go, these are options where they can trade from an area of strength. And those areas are catching. Those areas are middle infield in their minor league system. So we would see a Groshans and a Aroldis Martinez, somebody like that moved. Yes, there is strength within this organization. But I think no matter what happens, if there's a monster trade made, there's going to be a ton of people that are upset.
Of course.
And then it'll correct, right? Look at what Tappy is doing right now.
Yep. It's a great point. Tapia hitting .340 in his last 18 games. So Tapia is performing as well as we could hope for a fourth outfielder who's getting everyday playing time, it seems.
So wins, weighted runs created plus. This is by month. Raimel Tapia in April was 62. So that means that he is 38% below average for a major league outfielder. In May, he was 57. Now, one thing to remember about Raimel Tapia is that when he came over from Colorado, and I actually just watched a really interesting video from Joe Siddle where he was talking about inventing his swing, if you will, to give it a little bit more launch angle and work on his exit velocity. Because Raimel Tapia has always hit the shit out of the ball, right? He's hit it hard. He's just hit it into the ground when he was in Colorado. So they worked really hard on changing his launch angle, and it's working. Because June, his weighted runs created, plus 136. So he's 36% better than the average MLB outfielder in June. So hopefully he's finding it. Guys are streaky, but he's definitely, I know watching him in that New York series and getting to see him live, man, the dude is fast. And when he gets on his horse, man, there were a couple times where he hit a couple doubles, and him rounding first base, you're just like, this is an automatic double. Like, if there's even a slip up in the outfield, this is a triple. And that really helps put pressure on the defense. Raimel Tapia, stay hot, baby.
Stay hot, baby.
If, by the way, for all of you out there, Randall Grichuk by months, April 131, 31% better than the regular outfield. May 53, June 59, so almost the exact opposite of what Raimel Tapia was doing. And if you look at that stat, you're like, okay, so we just traded the same player for the same player, but one guy's hot mid-season.
Here's a question for you. Just looking at tradable pitchers that would come in and I think be a real impact on this team, who are on bad teams, right? Like, obviously there's a bunch of guys who are pitching well on playoff contenders. Those guys aren't getting traded, right? Tristan McKenzie with the Cleveland Guardians. As much as the Guardians suck, they are right in the thick of things for that division. And given that they just spent all that money on Jose Ramirez, I think they're not going to be moving from any of their pitchers anytime soon.
The Guardians, the Twins, the White Sox.
Yeah.
Nothing's
happening there. So if I go down the list here, this is number 11 in the majors in WHIP. Leads Major League Baseball in innings pitched so far of the Miami Marlins. Miami Marlins are in second last in the AL or in the NL East. 7 games below 500, and they are 14 games back of the Mets for that division. So Miami, cheap team, not contending this year. I'm looking at Sandy Alcantara as a big splash pitching target.
You would need to give up the farm to get him, especially after that long-term contract they just signed him to.
Okay, well, here's some homework on this. This is me showing my work. So I'm on Sport Track right now, looking at Sandy Alcantara's contract. This year, $3.5 million. Next year, $6 million. After that, $9 million. The final 3 years of his deal, $17 million, $17 million, $21 million. To me, I look at that and I go, that's a cheap team who doesn't want to pay him. They back end loaded this contract. Yeah. This feels like we will pay you $3 million and we will give ourselves an extended window to work out a trade to get rid of you before we ever have to pay you any real money.
No, you're correct. I don't think that they're going to move on from him yet. I think it's far more likely you see. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just this is the kind of pitcher that I want back in return for Alejandro Kirk. If we're going to move Kirk.
Yes.
Let's get a guy like this. He's got the control. He's, I think, 26 right now, so he's young. He's pitching like Cy Young votes. Not Cy Young. I don't think he's going to win, but he'll get votes. Right? Team-friendly contract, like a long-term 5 years of control kind of thing. If we had to give up Kirk and a Hall of Prospects still, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see a fourth starter, right? Like, let's go get another number one, right? I don't know.
Adam doesn't want Zach Greinke.
Fuck you. I want Zach Greinke,
I know you do.
Let's put a package. Let's put a package together. Let's throw Benintendi and Greinke and whoever else the Royals want to get rid of.
Scott Barlow. Let's
throw them
all
in there.
Let's go.
All right. I digress.
Let's move along here.
Let's move along here. Okay, next up. Thanks for that great question. I mean, that took us 20 minutes to get to, but thank you, Lena the Brave, for that conversation starter. Next one comes in from Ian. Commented on our movie review of Moneyball. Said, I love the J.K. Rowling quick cut. I see what you did there. I like it. So 99% of our audience is not going to get the reference. Moneyball movie review is up now. That is a Patreon exclusive. We do a recast the remake where we pick some of the main characters from these movies.
And recast the movie.
And recast them with actors of today. Anyways, that's a gag nobody's going to get. But what I might do, I think we've done it in the past. What I might do is we'll just take that portion of the episode and throw that up on YouTube because it is a lot of fun. So
awesome.
Okay, thanks for supporting us, Ian. Love it as always. Next one comes in from Just Tap It In. I think this is formerly Ronald McDonald and also formerly someone with a real name. They keep changing their name, so who knows. Next week it'll be Georgie Porgy Puddin' in Pie. Four-part comment from Just Tap It In. Number one, these shows need to be live. Number two, these shows need to be longer. Number three, should discuss the lineup on game day. And number four, consider a pregame show. So three and four are kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Live pre-show that's longer and leads right into the Blue Jays game. Can you do it, Scott? Can you make it happen?
I'll be honest, our equipment chugs along whenever we go live. Listen, we do live shows. We always like the interaction. We do Long Toss Live every single Sunday from 6 to 8 Eastern. We bring the panelists on. We have had some chugging issues where there's time delays. There's stuff like that. Listen, I want to do live as much as we possibly can. I think it's a really cool way of doing it. I know we've done it with some guests. Our biggest thing is that we're working on upgrading our equipment, everybody. It's a slow process because financially there's things that are coming before.
Like food and gasoline.
Yeah, gas. Yeah, like, listen, I know some of you might be shocked, but and normally we would just save this for all you Patreon exclusives, so I'm going to let everyone in on a secret here. Adam and I, okay, buckle up, not rich.
What?
Now, I know, right? Some of you are like, what? You're kidding. But no, we are working on it. Honestly, we really do appreciate the comment. Just tap it in. I would love to be live every single time. I think it is the way we are going. And, you know, even with Mailbag, it would be something kind of fun to actually be taking comments live from time to time here. So I really appreciate that you are so enthusiastic about it and would like to be interacting with us right there in the moment, because that is the best way to interact with anything. But we're working on it, I guess, is the best I can say. You can.
Yeah, I mean, from a technical standpoint, what Scott and I are able to pull off is nothing short of a miracle. Let's just start with that as a starting point here. Yeah, I mean, right now I've got like my recording software and I've got Zoom open, and then I have a notepad thing for like my comments here. That's it. And my computer is at like max resources. It is really grinding as best it can. Like, we're lucky that we're able to do a video component to this podcast at all.
Yes.
Right. We're working on it, I think, as best we can. Money is a cost. Like, I would love nothing more than to have like a dedicated PC tower that could just like run all of the video processing for us and take care of that. Unfortunately, that's probably a couple of years away still. But that is, yeah, something that Scott and I are looking into as the channel continues to grow. I mean, it's not like we're pulling a paycheck out of any of this, right? Like, we do have some money coming in through sponsorship and through the YouTube ads and through the Patreon.
Absolutely.
And
we're very grateful,
through
sure.
generous donate or not donations, but contributions from people like Rashid, who's helping us upgrade our studio, and it all adds up. But yeah, Scott and I aren't like taking our scraps out and being like, let's go to Vegas or whatever, right? Like, we are reinvesting it in the show. Part of it does come down to like even like trying to get guests on, you know, like, here's a peek behind the curtain. A lot of these Toronto Blue Jays are on Cameo, and we will send them like $200 for a cameo. And then our request is, hey, come do the show, right? Is basically what it comes down to. So like every bit of dollars we do get, we are reinvesting in the show, whether it's through gear, whether it's through acquiring interviews for more for people like you. I just got my haircut at a barber school for free the other day. So
yeah,
look how aerodynamic I am with this mullet.
Yeah.
$0 so that I could reinvest money into the show instead of into my haircut. So
also, we're doing everything. Growth is exponential. Adam says we're a couple years away. We're not. We have seen incredible growth over the last year, over the last 2 years since we started. In fact, our 2 year anniversary is coming up on July 6th. So I truly do believe we're on the verge of being able to be a little bit bigger podcast. Now I'm being all optimistic here, but
Just spent a weekend in Toronto shaking hands with fans, and I just spent a week fucking messing up a simple sound system check.
And everyone's human, and we all forgive you, Adam. Let's end it. Should we end it on that?
I do have one more thing to get to, and before we do, I do just want to say yes, sharing. Liking, commenting. I mean, if you're at this point, I don't feel bad asking for a call to action. Like the video, comment on it, and then go to Discord and yell at each other, but leave a comment here. That all helps. Another way you can help grow the channel, share videos, share clips on Facebook groups that you're a part of, on Reddit pages that you're a part of. If Scott and I share it ourselves, it just gets taken down because it's like a self-promotion spamming thing. It goes against the rules. But you're able to share articles from Shai Davidi in those groups. You're able to share stupid discussions about Sandy Alcantara with us in those groups. So if you want to help this channel grow, that is one of the best ways you can do it. Liking, commenting, and also sharing. Get some more eyes on the show. So appreciate all the support that way.
Truly, that is the best word to put it, is appreciate every single one in the view in this community. It's been pretty overwhelming going to Toronto and actually getting recognized and kind of seeing the growth that we've seen in this channel, and that's all because of you guys. So thank you so much to all the ladies and gentlemen who have been a part of this right from the beginning and who have jumped on even just recently. So we appreciate you all. Feel free to follow us on Twitter. We're so close to 1,000 followers on Twitter, by the way. I think we're like 10 off. So
nice.
If you haven't followed us on Twitter, feel free to do so. Adam runs the Instagram. That's the Walk Off Podcast. You can join Discord by hitting the link in the show notes, and it is free always. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you on Friday. Take care. Oh, also, by the way, if you're still here and you're in Saskatoon, Adam and I playing Stumbletown Distillery in Saskatoon. 8:00. Get your tickets. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.